Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Crazy love. I mean, think about it. Crazy love. If you have not yet got Francis Chan's latest book, it is this revised and updated version called Crazy Love. You got to get it. I mean, it is amazing how it challenges us to go back almost like he's being used to give that Ephesus church warning, going back to your first love. We're supposed to be known by our love for each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see a lot of religion. You can see a lot of, you know, people, you know, building things and doing things, but it's like, where's the love, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you think about it too, you know, of course, joining me in this segment is Steve and Pat, man. We're just so glad to be able to be here and talk about, you know, the things of God together all the time. Mm-hmm. And God himself is love.
Amen.
And somebody says, well, I just don't have a lot of time to love. You know, I'm working on that. And it's like, if God is love, I mean, think about it, and you don't have time to love, I mean, we're all challenged in this. We're all trying to live up to Pat's standard. And that's just joking. If you don't know Pat,
I think they get it.
We right. pray for him.
He Thank helps you. Us learn how to love.
Yes.
And
where would you be without me?
I mean, that duct tape thing almost did get me. Anyway, so the word of God, he lets us know that God himself is love. And so if you don't have time to love, you don't have time to God, right? You don't have time to be with God. And if you don't know love, you don't know God. And then he says, you can say you love God, but if you don't love your brother, he said, this statement that you just made about how you love your brother, he says it's actually a lie. This is in the Bible, by the way. Mm-hmm. I know 81% don't pick it up.
Right.
But actually it's written in your Bible in 1 John. And so, and even Jesus said, this will be our identification, the very fact by our love for each other. And so what's going to be under attack all the time?
Love.
Love.
Yeah.
You know, anything to do with love. You can do anything religious you want to, but just don't love. But love is the one that proves that you know him. Mm. And secondly, that you will be with him in eternity. Because if you don't love God, think about this. This is really crazy. People really think, even though I don't love God, and even though I don't love people, I did say a prayer, and I'm going to make it to heaven with love, with God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a religious lie. I mean, why would you want to be with an eternity with a God you don't even love? Mm-hmm. And by the way, why would he want to be with you if you don't even love him?
Right.
And Jesus says, if you love me, obey me.
Right.
What does he say do? He says, make disciples. Be a disciple and make a disciple. Follow his, oh my goodness. I mean, you think about that. And so it makes me think about what you were saying, you know, Steve, during the break about, you know, understanding how can we grasp this God, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And reading this book is just like totally changing and just reminding, like you're saying, just the importance of love. And it's like, a lot of times you look like you're saying, it's like you see how love is like so much under attack, and it's just like, okay, that's God. God is under attack,
right?
Because he is love. And it's like, you think about this. And as I was reading also, you know, just beginning Crazy Love, there's a quote, by R.C. Sproul, and it says, men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure I read that about a dozen times. And I just read that over and over again. And it's like, you look at it and it's just like, you know, God reminded me of my own journey. And I had to come to the end of myself to look up. And when you kind of just sit and just gaze at God and look at God, you really understand and you begin to get that perspective of really how small we are, because you see how big and awesome God is. And it causes you to think, and it's like you look around our culture and just the world today, and it's like every conversation is me, 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 and self, self, self. And pleasure, pleasure and entertainment, entertainment. And it's just like, so then it's not really a question at all when very few thoughts are about God in those types of situations. Very few thoughts are about what is it like to have splendor and the majesty and you're getting caught up in God.
You think about this too, and I don't want to stop your train of thought, but we're always following some God.
Right.
Either big G God, whose son is Jesus Christ, or other gods. And he said, in the last day, men will be lovers of themselves, which means we obey ourselves. We make ourselves God. So when it's me, 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 my, what we're doing is saying, we're saying, I am God.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And that what Satan said, you know, I will lift my throne up. I feel I deserve the glory. And if we just look at it from a one viewpoint of saying, I'm going to get to acknowledging the awesomeness of God, but for now I'm going to struggle without letting you know that really you're worshiping yourself as God.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving in pride. You're saying, I, you know, when you get to the end of your, you know, obviously not godness,
right?
You know, that's when you find out, I got to find God.
Yeah.
Cause we found out all of our plans, all of our schemes, all of our ideas, all how we said it was going to be, it doesn't happen. That's when we realize that we're not God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that.
Yeah.
And that could be done through decision or life's journey.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot easier just to avoid the journey. You just need God.
Yeah. And then think about it. So then I realized, oh my goodness, I don't want to worship myself as God.
Right.
How horrific is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're talking about right here is so powerful. It's like, you know what? If I just get a perspective of him.
Mm-hmm.
This will just make, you know, who do I think I am?
Yeah.
That's what's right. It's just going to make you that feeling of like, who do you think you are? When you realize how big and how awesome he is, he's just like, who do you think you are?
Right. Yeah.
Even having any kind of opinion like that. But go ahead. But yeah, I just wanted to. Yeah.
And in that too, you know, God reminded me, it's just like, you got to change that perspective of just like, you know, Isaiah's, or it's actually in Ecclesiastes, and it's just like you think about this, and it's just like when you get that perspective, it changes just how you approach God, how you like,
yes,
and then you really start to connect the dots. Like, wait a second, and now I can talk to you. Like that just totally changes it. But look at this in Ecclesiastes 5. It says, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. When you go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools." Who do not know that they do wrong. Don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart. Don't utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. And let your words be few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is that not powerful or what? And it's just like, we think that because that we have created some empire or our own kingdom here on earth, that we are due some type of respect or whatever, but it's just like...
Isn't that amazing?
Remember, you're on earth, and God is in heaven. And it's like, that's...
Past the Milky Ways. all the galaxies.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember seeing a video of just like, you know...
Man, he has lost it. He is definitely Southern.
You remember?
I remember. I have become Southern. And it's like, you think about just the bigness of God, it's just like, you can't explain him. But that's the awesomeness too, of just like, when you begin to change that perspective and just begin to continually just gaze on God and just look, say, Holy Spirit, help me, show me Jesus. Show me the throne room. You know, remember when you look at how John encountered God in Revelation 4, God didn't say anything. He just was. Like, that's how awesome he is.
They were talking about him.
Exactly.
Holy, holy, holy.
And that's the thing, is like, he's that awesome. And it's just like, I'm just growing, and I want to learn more about this. But it's just like.
John just overheard a conversation about God in heaven, didn't he?
Yeah.
He seems to be really important here.
Yeah, right.
He's like the creator or something.
Down here on the floor.
Is
really
he sitting in the center of all the universe?
Yeah.
Woe is me, right? As Isaiah said.
Yeah. And it's just like, but that's so important, that quote, because it's just like, when you get to really understand who God is, then you realize like, oh my goodness, who am I? Like, oh wow. Like that you would bring me into your presence. And you think about it, what David says, who is man that, you know, that you think about him.
Your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. That you're mindful of him. And it's just like, that in itself highlights the love of God, that he is so awesome, that he wants to know us, and that he desires even greater than our own understanding for us to know him. And it's just like, he's just so awesome. You know?
It makes me think of what Jesus said. He said it in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you pray, in other words, when you talk to me, yeah. you talk to the Father, he said, in Matthew 6, I believe 7, he says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. All these words, right?
Yeah.
Do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. And I think, you know, when he talks about it in this book as well, and you got to get the book. It's called Crazy Love, the second edition, the revised and the updated version. Is don't pray. Just stop praying first. That's his first chapter. Stop praying. And get perspective. Mm. I mean, before you approach the awesomeness of God, get a perspective of who he is so you know who you're talking to.
Mm.
If you start talking to who you perceive as God, like a pagan does right here, and just start babbling on, oh, give me a car, help my wife, you know, things Pat prays. And
right.
And sorry, Trey, son. Anyway, so but think about this, that if you don't even know who you're talking to, I mean, we talk about this often. I talk about understanding when you're in the presence of greatness, that, you know, you're in the presence of people who have done great things and people who have this respect due them. There's a time just to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to give way to that person who is coming. Jesus said it. Listen, when you come into a place, don't take the most important seat because they'll embarrass you and pull you out of that seat and put you back, you know. Sit and let them call you, you know, sit in the lower seat. But when you're talking to God, getting perspective, I mean, it just really helps you. And it's not only do you have a perspective of the awesome, you know, magnitude of God, but that he's madly in love with you. Not mad, it's not a good statement, but he's deeply in love with us. He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
This God loves you so much. Your creator loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And so this encountering, getting this perspective of God, not only puts us in our place in regards to saying, who do I think I am?
Right.
Did I tell you lately that I'm so sorry for what I said earlier on? And that I should not have approached you like that, and I should humble myself. And God responds to this, by the way. He responds to humility, if you don't know that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to say, but he loves me, so I'm going to listen. I'm going to trust his love for me. And we get back from this break. I want to hear about this quote, this magnitude, understand the magnitude of God that you're talking about, Steve. Talking about crazy love, new revised and updated edition of Francis Chan's book. You've got to get it. There's no way that we could do it fully justice in this short period of time of talking about it, but it's love.
Yeah.
You know, God loves you, and God created you and created this universe. It's huge, huge.
Very huge.
A universe.
Big.
And just to show you that, you know, maybe he did it so that you would just look back and go, once you see it, you would just go, wow, you know. Or, as Francis Chan says in his book, maybe he did it so that we would say, who do you think you are talking that way? And it's good to know. It's good to know, man. It's good to know who's in charge.
Yeah.
Because you may think you are. And live your life like you are. And as a matter of fact, I believe there was a guy named Saul who thought he had it all figured out, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, the Holy Spirit's been reminding me and just showing me that, you know, and I want to read that quote again that we talked earlier. R.C. Sproul, he said, men are never duly touched and impressed with the conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. And if you're not aware, you can look at in the book of Acts, Saul was a guy that was persecuting the church, this religious zeal, and just coming
killing in, folks, prisoning folks, and all
in
that
the
stuff.
Name of God.
Right.
So he's on the road to Damascus, and you can look
Glory
at this
God.
In the book of Acts chapter 9. So he's walking, and all of a sudden, the brightness of a light, brighter than the noonday sun, comes upon him. And he has an encounter with God, and in one moment, he sees who God is.
One moment.
And he's blinded.
Right.
Can't see for 3 days.
He does change his vocabulary.
Yes.
From saying, I'm going to kill the devil.
And then he says, who are you?
Yeah.
Lord?
Lord.
And he says, I am Jesus. I'm the one you've been persecuting. And what the Holy Spirit revealed to me is if you look at it in Acts 9:9, he says, for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And it's just like, oh yeah, he was blind to the things of the natural. He couldn't walk for himself. But imagine, what was that man thinking about for 3 days?
God.
Yes. He had a revel. I mean,
he was reviewing everything he ever did. Yes. He thought was in the name of religion, that he realized he was doing it.
Yes.
To God. Stephen, that he had stoned.
Yes.
That was God.
That he approved of.
He approved of that.
Yeah. I mean, look at that. Yeah. You think about that encounter. You look at Revelations 4, that encounter, the awesomeness, the glory of who Jesus is.
Right.
And then in that same revelation, who you are.
Right.
You're a sinful man.
Right.
Persecuting this awesome God.
Yeah.
And it's like you look at it and it's just like, how, I don't know, a more pivotal moment in one man's life that he knew his utter eternal dependency upon God and his utter frailty to rely on himself.
You think about this too. Jesus said in Matthew 25, whatever we did to the least of these of his, we did to him, to Jesus. And we will be eternally judged on how we did. What's so cool is he realized what happened when he did, and he repented and lived the rest of his life doing good things.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. So the encountering, blinded for 3 days. What did he think about?
Yeah. And it's just like, that's always been my recently, probably this last year, what the Holy Spirit's been continually showing me is just like, a lot of times I would say, you know, show me what Paul saw. Show me what John saw. And I never really understood it. And then the Holy Spirit showed me this. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to see all of it. But it's like, you look at Paul's life. You look at how he was treated. He said he was beat. He was stoned. He was left for dead, shipwrecked, naked, poor,
robbed.
Hungry, robbed. But he was just like, you know what? I consider all these things nothing.
Worse than that, religious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know what? I consider all these things dung just for the sake of simply knowing him.
Wow.
And it's just like, if we want to live the life that Paul lived, the question is, are we willing to see what Saul saw? And it's just like, I've been crying. My prayer has been like, God, I just ask for grace because I want to see that. Right. But I know in my own strength, it would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the awesomeness. Like when you truly begin to understand the splendor and the awesomeness of God, it's just like, okay, I got to change some few things. I've been approaching you the wrong way. Can we start over again?
Yeah.
And he
proves
does.
That you can.
Yeah. And
that's one thing in his life when he goes from Saul to Paul. He goes from the epitome of what he thought was religious and right, that he was religious and wrong.
Yeah.
He went from religious and wrong to relationship and love.
Yeah.
And he did everything for us. He's like, I want to be with you. You know, that's where I want to be. I have no problem being with you, God. I want to go with you right now. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for you. But I have no problem being with you right now. And that's the way our life, we understand. But why do you think about this? He's huge. You know, God doesn't, you can't make God small, but you can make your perception of God small. And when your fear is bigger than your perception of who God is, in other words, when your fear is bigger than your God, fear is your God. That's everything you filter now. You put a seatbelt on it. You put a crash helmet on. You got a cheesy pink helmet riding your tricycle down the road. And it's like, what happened? We don't trust God for nothing.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, he's this life is like a vapor. It's a moment in time. And by the way, just so you know this Saul, this Paul that Steve's talking about, his life ended, and the reports are that when it came time for his life to end, he was brought out of imprisonment. They were going to take him and have his, they were going to decapitate him, mm-hmm. take his head off. He ran to the chopping block. He ran to it. That's what the reports. And more people are running from, it's like, don't you understand? He says, this is what he also says. He says, you know, if in fact that we live for this life alone, this is the only reason we live for, in other words, whatever you get out of this life, whatever love, your body, your flesh, whatever your stuff and your things get in this life, if that's all that we're living for, we, the Christian, the people who profess to be Christians should be pitied more than anybody else. But think, we're not, it's not for this life.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this life is a momentary moment for us to love him and love others and lead other people to do the same. And you talk about this quote here, you know, when you think about the majesty of God, it's defined, I'm looking at definition, you know, the impressiveness, the stateliness, the deity, the beauty, the royal power, the the thunder and the lightning and the emerald rainbow and, you know, the cherubim and the seraphim, you know, holy, holy, worthy, worthy, these seven blazing torches. You just imagine just roaring before God. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't think you should do this, God. It's like, who do you think you was? What happened? Yeah. Who taught to, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
But when you find out that this God is in love with you, everything that you've ever done, I don't care how many trophies that you had on your shelf for what you did in the name of religion that was wrong, you'll be just like Paul when Paul said, you know what? You know, of the Pharisees, I'm a Pharisee. I am the great. I've done all these different things. You know, I've done all this different stuff. He said, but I consider that all poop. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He compared all of his religious trophies, every accomplishment. I mean, by the time you're 40, I believe you had to have the word of God memorized as a Pharisee, the word that they had. And but he considered that all dung, poop, you know, whatever you call what's in a diaper, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what he called it.
Right.
Think about that. How many people are bragging about poop? You know what I'm saying? It's like you have those conversations, you walk away, you're like, ew, I feel like they just religious on me. You know what I'm saying? They pooped on me. He said, I consider all dung for one thing. For one thing, that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering and his power, that I might know him. And that's my quest. And I just pray right there that's your quest too, that you are going to just be saying, you know what? I'm going to set my face like a flint. I just want to know you. Even if people don't want to know me because I want to know you, I don't care. I just want to know you. I'm going to spend eternity with you. I want to crank up this life and maximize it. And my love for you, I want to obey you. I want to follow your teachings and I want to love you. I want to love others and I want to lead other people to the same. Make sure you do this. If you want to find out more about that, go to vfntv.com. Also go to iabide.org. The Lord wants to abide with you and he'll empower you to do this. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.